from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Texture says, ESECPN is very unwatchable now due to the SEC coverage. Texter says, Rob, ESPN owns the ACC too. Why wouldn't they lean into this and own both sides of the argument? Because it ain't the moneymaker for them. It's just not, right? And on top of that, considering you have the evolution and expansion of the SEC, which has made it, and again, I won't even say to you it's not the best football conference. It is clearly the best football conference. Clearly.
Is it?
Not a yes.
Is it?
Yes, undoubtedly.
I don't think it's clearly.
It's clearly and undoubtedly the best football conference.
Who won the national championship last year?
The incredibly top-heavy Big Ten. But if we stacked them one to the bottom on both sides and played a tournament, the SEC is a deeper, better conference.
All right, so maybe in the past you could say that, but with the additions of teams like Oregon,
Oklahoma, Texas.
I'm just saying, you know,
if the SEC hadn't added Oklahoma and Texas, I would say that argument stands. But they did, and those are two. Again, Oklahoma's expectations, I think 10-2, 9-3. Texas's playoff probably be in the mix for the SEC championship game. The SEC is the best conference in college football. I don't like them, and I'll stand on that.
Just because you're not convincing me.
I know that. Doesn't make it A, wrong, or B, me wrong. So, but again, we'll say it's subjective. We disagree on that.
Sounds like another conspiracy.
The point here is that, no, it's an opinion, not a conspiracy, but the point here is that the SEC is leaned into by the four letter because it is the moneymaker. And television programming, just like college sports, television programming is dictated by, we're going to do whatever is the most financially lucrative. Now, I will also go one step further and acknowledge that the reason it's that is because that's where the eyeballs are.
Didn't you just do the equivalent of see, they just don't like my team. In this case, see, they just don't like my conference. That's what that entire last segment was. See, they just don't like my conference. Even though we've talked about all this time about the Big Ten and the SEC basically being the two conferences, and everybody else is, what did you call them? The also something?
The EEC, the everybody else conference.
Right, right. And so I get you're defending the ACC, but at the same time, we've been talking about how these two conferences are the dominant conferences.
I think you can dial in on that without denigrating everybody else, right? Like, I think that's my thing. It is one thing. This is why, if I'm
going, I would wait another two. Listen, fine, and I'll shut up the rest of the hour.
No, I need to shut up. I would wait a week or two
before I come to the conclusion that it was ACC was the reason why they were fired. We don't know that more stuff may not come out. This is reacting the day after, and I get it. But what if something else comes out? That there's other reasons why they were let go.
Then I am going to wrap the tinfoil cap a little tighter and go, yeah, it's a response. They do still have to protect the ESPN brand as well as the SEC brand. And there has been, even if it's not from a majority of fans, there's been a backlash to this. It was the number one trending topic on social media yesterday for a while.
By the way, there should be a backlash. I was more upset that they got let go. I didn't look and say, well, this has to do with the ACC and has to do with Florida State. I see two people that are talented and who've been there for a while being let go. And we know in the entertainment business, which we're in, happens all the time.
I don't disagree. But the point here is the coincidental timing is too coincidental to be coincidental for me. If this was truly a budget cut, and that's their excuse, oh, it's budget cut. Number one, why are they the only two, right? And ESPN can go out tomorrow and they can let a bunch of producers go and see, oh, well, it wasn't just them, see? But it was, though. It was. For at least a day, they were the only two. And they were the only two who did this thing. The only two who defended Florida State and the only two who are married to FSU alums. Now, another texter said, gee, wonder who the host school is. My man, this is, as I said, and you don't believe me, and that's okay. But I will be brutally honest with you when I'm on this microphone. My entire thing, unlike the overwhelming majority of people who do this job, and I am not slamming them for it, all right? But unlike most hosts, I am just me behind a mic. I don't make stuff up behind the mic. I don't make a character. I don't go with hot take. I've told you, I don't like hot take radio, all right? You can check in with the folks in the stream who know me personally. You get the same Rob Brown sitting at the bar drinking a beer as you do on this mic. Just as loud, just as obnoxious, same takes. This has nothing to do with my school or feelings about it or yada, yada, yada. It is everybody. Because here's a fun fact. If it was Clemson, they'd do the same thing to you. They'd do the same thing. I want you to flip the logos. Let's say last year Clemson goes 14-0 or 13-0, pardon me. Let's say they go 13-0 and they win the ACC and you get left out of the playoffs. First off, don't tell me you wouldn't be calling into this show flipping your about it. Because I know you. You would. Okay? You would. You'd be absolutely flipping tables about it. That's not a question. That's a statement. And then imagine you were flipping tables mad about it, because you would be. And you tune in to this network one day and you hear that guy who's made his entire career being an inflammatory troll who was brought up in SEC country. And he gets on the mic and he goes, you know, I'm really tired of these Clemson fans whining and crying. Y'all just need to go away and be the disappointments that you are. Because that's what he said. Paraphrase. But that's what he said. All right. FSU's going to let you down this year because they spent so much time crying about being left out that they've got tears. By the way, the same guy who last season when this was all going down, the same guy who got on his radio show and said Florida State shouldn't be left out of these playoffs. And then they were. And what did he say? Oh, actually, it's okay. Why? Why do you think that was? Why do you think that was? It was because Alabama got in. That's why. It's because Alabama got in. The school that made him got in. So of course he's going to endorse that. Because he's got to keep the base happy. All right? Of course. Ooh, almost said his name. Of course that guy.
You already said his name once in the last segment. You absolutely did.
I don't think I did.
No, you did.
Okay, well.
You did.
He gets one.
Me.
All right, he gets one. That guy is, of course, going to defend the school that made him getting in. That's why the tune flipped in a day. In a day, he went from you can't leave him out to of course you leave him out and put Bama in, because that's what he does. And that's now what this network does. The point that I'm making here, it is not about my school. It is not about this school or that school or whatever other school there is. This is 100% about the fact that if you ain't us, you ain't in their eyes. That's it. That's it. If you ain't us, you ain't bleep. That's what I have the problem with. And I think, and again, all of this is my opinion. The text line's open, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, or call me. 844-326-3663. That's the number to the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone. 844-326-3663. If you disagree, holler at me. Let's chat. I love chatting. All right, text line's open, phone line's open, Renewal by Anderson to the Carolinas fan phone's open. The reason this is a thing for me is because I feel justified. Because I've been saying for a very long time, the scales are tipped towards SEC teams. They just are. We talked yesterday. Not a list guy, but we had a list yesterday. Top 10 active head coaches in college football. And Lane Kiffin was on that list. And Lonzo said, why is Lane Kiffin on this list? Why? Why is Lane Kiffin here? And my answer was, because he's in the SEC. Because he's projected to do well in the SEC. That's the reason. And this was just some guy. But I think when you do this long enough, perception becomes reality. When you get on TV and you say a thing over and 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 over, people eventually believe it. That's how politics works. It's how sports works. It's how it all works. It's how everything works. Every organization or facet of your life, the goal for people is to say a thing enough times that you believe it. Politicians do it. Coaches do it. Chairmen of the boards do it. Religious authorities do it. They all do it. The goal is to get you to hear enough times that you eventually go, it's got to be true, right? They can't say it that many times if it's wrong. And so I've been saying for a very long time, that because of that, the scales are tipped. Nobody else gets the same shake at those schools, at being great that those schools do. There's always just a little thumb on the scale, to use the expression of a texter that sent a text I'm going to talk about here in just a minute. There's always a little thumb on the scale to tilt it in their direction just a little bit, right? I fully believe that's what happened last year. And again, I know many of you don't. But I believe last year, the reason Bama got in and Florida State didn't, oh, it's because of Jordan Travis. Is it? Is it? Because there were at least two other schools that got in and through with a backup quarterback. It's the first time that was the reason that it happened. Was it that? Or was it because we have been told for so long, you can't have a playoff without the SEC in it. And there's Alabama right there. They beat Georgia. They're right there. So we are going to break the precedent of every year of the playoffs that we've had it. We're going to break that precedent and put this team in unprecedented situation. Did they do it because they genuinely believed it was the right thing to do? Or did they do it because you can't have a playoff without the SEC? Because that has been the motto for so long. Because I'll tell you which one I believe. It's the latter. It's the latter. And this is not, again, to circle back, this ain't about what school it was. Because they'd have done it to Clemson and I'd be on the same warpath. They would have done it to, I don't know, Oregon, I'd be on the same warpath. Well, not now. They're in the Big Ten. Big Ten will have that same finger on the thumb courtesy of Fox. I'm not doing this because I'm like up in arms about RG3 and Sam Ponder. I'm doing this because I think it is, as we talked about with the NASCAR thing to end the first hour, it's too much circumstantial evidence for me not to accept that. It's just evidence at this point. The reason that we have a democratic republic and checks and balances in place is because we are a country that wants to go with the will of the people without doing harm to those in the minority. That's the goal. We haven't always gotten it right throughout this lovely country's history. But the goal is to respect the voice of the people while protecting the lives, the well-being of the minority. To transfer that over to college football, I want to look out for everybody who's not in the SEC. Big 12, this goes for you. If Kansas goes 13-0 and wins the Big 12, you don't think they'd bounce them for a one-loss SEC team just like they did to Florida State? Of course they would. Of course they would. And I do not think, much like I say, robo-ump should be enacted. Not because I care about the umpires or the player. No. Robo-ump should be enacted because if a pitcher throws a strike, he should be awarded a strike, not a strike, if the umpire is in a good mood that day. When a running back gets a first down, he should be awarded the first down because he got the first down, not because the line judge happened to be standing 1 yard too far and had a skewed perspective of where the ball was. You either did the thing or you didn't. And college football teams should not have rewards taken away from them because of the number of eyeballs they put on a TV. That's the whole thing for me. And I know there are a lot of you that don't believe me. I actually think Lonzo's one of the people that thinks I'm full of crap right now. But.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I do.
How in the world would you think that?
Well, you're real good at subtlety. It's your strong point. This to me is not about the school that it happened to.
Okay, I looked at other sources and what they're speculating on the reason why they're both gone, and it's political reasons. So I'm just not going to say anything. So hopefully they're gone for the reason that you say. They're gone, so you'll be right. Because I just want you to be right.
Yeah, me too. The claim of budget cuts. When you have been handing out contracts to guys like Stephen A. Smith and Kendrick Perkins for a couple of years now, doesn't float with me. And it doesn't float with me that you went budget cuts, but only to two people. Two people who are nowhere near the top of your talent payroll. Two people who just coincidentally happen to be, the only two people on your network who defended the school and the only two people on your network married to alum of that school. It's too much for me subjectively and personally. It's too much coincidence to be a coincidence.
I guess maybe part of my thing is, and other people I've heard say, I stopped watching ESPN a long time ago. When politics seemed to bleed into it, and I want to watch sports, I don't want to watch politics, and that became a thing for me. The only reason why I watch Game Day now is because McAfee's on it. If he wasn't on it, I had stopped watching that. I'll watch other shows instead.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you the truth. I don't watch ESPN anymore. All right. And like I said, I know what I'm doing is probably damaging to myself, both A, because I know a large swath of you disagree with me, and it may be a take that some of you go, all right, this guy's an idiot. I also know that a lot of you, that for me, this could be damaging to career potential down the line, right? If I ever get a call from ESPN that goes, hey, we want to hire you to be a play-by-play on Saturdays, but we heard that segment you did a couple of days, weeks, months, years ago where you put us on blast, and because of that, we can't hire you. But I'm sorry. It is my job to be myself and open with you, and there is too much coincidence for this to be a coincidence. That's where this comes from. All right, let's take a break. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If you're going to get away from college football, why not talk a little local football? The Greenville Triumph back in action tonight, Paladin Stadium, as they take on the Richmond Kickers. 7 p.m., the beginning of that match this evening. A very important one for the Greenville Triumph back at the house. And to joining us now to talk about that is the assistant coach of the Greenville Triumph, Mark Ward, making his Rob Brown Show debut this morning on the Fan Upstate. Mark, my guy, welcome in, big dog. Happy to have you. How's it going, my man?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing real well, bud. Doing real well. Talk to me, my man. Let's introduce you to the listening audience, to the footy fans across the upstate. Mark Ward comes over from Chattanooga Red Wolves, where he was director of coaching and USL Academy director for the Red Wolves. You've been now with Greenville in the Rick Wright era for a hot minute now. How is your season with the Triumph going so far?
Hey, personally, I'm loving it. The guys are playing well. The team's performing well. We work hard every day to put a good product on the field for tonight's match and every other Saturday. So I can't complain at all. Can't complain. Hope the fans think the same way.
Oh man, I can tell you as a frontline member of the Riot, it's been very fun. There's the goals we've been wanting, the back line playing super aggressively. Talk to me about the mentality of the team. You've got kind of an interesting perspective because a lot of us, we were here through the John Harkes era. We were here for the switch over to Rick Wright. You showed up with Coach Wright. Talk to me a little bit about your perspective on what this era of Triumph football is and the mentality you guys try to keep in the locker room to get the boys performing well.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think from watching from afar when I was in Chattanooga, we always saw how talented the Greenville Triumph were. With Coach Harkes, who did an amazing job with the program and the club, getting it to where it is now and seeing how sturdy and how functional the team was, you're just kind of missing that spark. You know, where's the attacking play coming from? So when me and Rick got together and figured out what we want to do with the team, a couple words came to mind, and that was aggression, right? We want to show the community and our fans that we're aggressive, not just in the back line and keeping goals out, but we want to score a ton as well. We want it to be free-flowing so all the guys can have the freedom to make their own decisions and, you know, pros and cons to that as well. But we really wanted to show that we're more attacking-based than what has been in previous years. Which has been great. It's been fun to coach. The guys are super excited to attack more and have more of the ball in games. It's been great. And like I said, from afar, you always knew there was potential because the team has always had good players. now we just put it together and figure out how to get the most out of them.
The goal scoring, and that's been a lot of fun. Obviously, you've added quite a bit of offense, and we've seen some guys like Lye McKinnon who have really kind of stepped up and started to develop a little bit more this year. Last year, that was kind of, unfortunately, a bit of a weak spot for the Triumph. Great defense, great center field play, and just had issues finishing. This year, not so much. This year, the ball's fine in the back of the net with regularity. What would you, and obviously you weren't here last year for that bit of it, but were you able to notice, was there anything different that guys have talked about from last year to this year that has been the cause of the spark on offense?
I think identity is a big thing, knowing how we're going to accomplish that, and all credit to the players in this one. They know who's going to score goals, so they figure out how to get those people the ball. And it's really fun to watch from the sideline.
We're talking with Mark Ward, assistant coach for the Greenville Triumph. They are set tonight to take on the Richmond Kickers at home, 7 p.m. start time for this one this evening. And a bit of a rivalry game here in this one, Coach. Obviously, Richmond got the better of Greenville way early in the season in the opening round of the Jägermeister Cup. It has been fun watching the fan rivalry develop. I think there's a little bit of that you can see out there on the field between the boys. How big would a result in a full three against Richmond be tonight?
Oh, massive, massive. If we get 3 points tonight, we're the top team in the league, first place, solely first place, not tied with anybody else. Now, there's some guys catching up on our heels a bit, but 3 points takes us to the top of exactly where the team and the fans want us to be.
I love it. Mark Ward from the Greenville Triumph joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Talk to me a little bit about Rick Wright, if you don't mind, because obviously Rick in year one. This cat, Mark, I mean it, has got to be one of the most interesting, fascinating personalities I've ever been around. My man showed up at a tailgate at the beginning of this year, and he brought a conch shell. All right, we've always had like a bullhorn that we blow when we're ready to march and all that. My man rolled over with a conch shell and then spent an inordinate amount of time teaching us how to make the conch shell work. Yep, just a fun guy to be around. Talk to me from your perspective, working with him, coaching under him, a little bit about the man in charge, the gaffer.
Oh, Rick is so fun to work with. He is, self-admittedly, he says, you know, I'm 65 years old. I don't have, you know, the energy that I used to. And all I can say is, if this is the energy that he has now, I'm afraid to know what he had earlier in his life. The guy is so much fun to be around, so much fun to work with. The team loves him. He always brings, you know, the best attitude, always brings a good energy to training, to match day. I couldn't be more excited to work with him and thankful to be here. He teaches us a lot about life, a lot about the game, a lot about holding expectations. And then he gives us some life advice along the way, because again, as he has said, he's on the older end, and he loves, you know, doing that stuff. But I don't want to age him too much. He's a great guy and so much fun to be with.
I'll tell you what, Mark, I hope I got the giddy up and go that Coach Rick Wright does when I get to that age.
Yeah.
I really do. One of the things that Rick said, and I am interested to get your perspective on this, because I know that this is a coaching philosophy kind of thing, and I wonder how and where you fit into this. When we've had Rick on, when we've talked to Rick on the side, one of the things that Rick Wright always hammers in on is, this is not my team. I'm the gaffer, I'm the manager, but it's not my team. It's our team. It's the guys' team. They're the ones that, when the fans think about the Greenville Triumph, they don't necessarily think about the coaches. They think about the guys out there wearing the jerseys, running around, making the plays. So yeah. I want them to have a voice. I want them to have some level of control over this program. Is that something you think you've seen out of this team? And do you think that is maybe kind of what makes this team special this year?
Yeah, it couldn't be more true. The game is and always will be about the players. They're the ones that, you know, are competing and they're out there and representing the club. All us coaches and managers try to do is help them organize themselves, give them ideas, you know, to find success. And on the field, if they feel the freedom and the confidence to make decisions and make adjustments as needed, then go for it. They know that we support them, and if they think that's the best solution, we may throw a tidbit of knowledge towards them or something for them to think about, but ultimately they're the ones playing the game and they're the ones making the decisions on the field. So we just try to help them be organized and help them understand the big picture as opposed to, you know, missing the forest for the trees, if you will.
All right, talk to me about tonight's game against Richmond. What's the attitude here? What's the goal tonight? I mean, obviously 3 points and a win is what this team strives for. But for fans, it's been a minute since we've gotten to see the boys play at the house in Paladin Stadium. What will fans expect out of this matchup tonight?
Expect goals. Expect goals. We're super pumped to be at home back at Paladin Stadium. Expect the guys to work hard and compete and press forward. Like I said earlier, always thinking aggressively. So how can we get 3 points? And that's not going to come from sitting back and letting Richmond, you know, be comfortable. We want to make them uncomfortable, and we want to really put it on them so we can earn 3 points and a big win at home.
Anytime the answer is to what are we going to see is goals, I am on board. The Greenville Triumph back home tonight. Paladin Stadium taking on the Richmond Kickers at 7 p.m. Mark Ward, assistant coach, will be roaming the sidelines his first year with the Greenville Triumph, and it's going pretty well. Mark, my man, great to have you. Thank you for the time, bud. Good luck tonight. We'll see you out there.
That's right. Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely.
Thank you everything that you do.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. Thank you. Mark Ward, assistant coach from the Greenville Triumph here on the Rob Brown Show. When we come back here in just a minute, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast missed him yesterday because he was out at the joint practice between the Carolina Panthers and the New York Jets. Well, practice reports yesterday were that BY9 was dropping dots on the fellas. We'll talk to Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast about his thoughts on what he saw when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Ordinarily on Thursdays at 8:40, we talk about the Carolina Panthers. Today is not Thursday. Today is Friday. But Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joins us today anyway. Why? Because yesterday, Rashad Beard got the chance to go out in person to watch the Panthers and the Jets. A little joint practice as we get set for a weekend preseason contest between the two. Rashad Beard joins us on the show now. What's up, big fella? How we feeling, man?
What's going on, guys? Man, I'm feeling good, man. Competitive football is back. You know, we got to see another team yesterday, so I'm happy. Let's talk about it. Let's break it down.
Let's talk about it. And I don't think we can jump in anywhere else, and I know it's what everybody's going to do, but hey, got to do what you got to do. The report yesterday, and I've been looking forward to have you on to ask you if you can confirm or deny, Rashad Beard, the report yesterday is that BY had a little bit of a struggle out the gate yesterday, but then started dropping dots on folks yesterday. A lot of people saying they were impressed with the performance of BY9 yesterday. What'd you see?
Yeah, I don't know about struggle out the gate. I think he did throw one interception in 7-on-7s. I'm not panicking over that. But man, when 11-on-11s happened, he was dotting it up out there. And what I like to see from Bryce in the offense was that there was some juice. There was some juice out there. They were competitive. There was a couple of fights, which I like. I mean, I don't obviously want anybody getting hurt, but I like the fact that our offense stood tall. You know, Terrace Marshall had a nice interception. A nice reception. Nice dot from Bryce Young. Fade route, back corner, perfect throw. And Terrace Marshall, you know, he's having a bit of a rough offseason, kind of little throws a ball at the guy. Hey, you know, I got you on that one. And a fight ensued. So it was great to see our offense go out there and say, all right, you know, this is we're here. You know what I mean? And what I like about our offense and what I liked about yesterday is that we look like we belong, right? We didn't look overmatched. We didn't look like we were out of place. And BY, he needed that. You know, all the talk this whole training camp is that he was struggling here, struggling there. And he needed yesterday. And I think he wanted to go up against another team, see a different defense, And he showed improved yesterday. So I'm happy for Bryce. He looked good. The entire offense looked good when healthy Robert Hunt went down for a brief second. Offensive line after that looked a little shaky. So when Bryce, we said this all the time, when Bryce is protected and his receivers are separating, good things are going to happen. And that's what happened yesterday at Jets camp.
We have in the comments, we got Roadmaster said, I'm the biggest Bryce hater, but he shined yesterday. Roadmaster going certified hater mode on BY9 there for just a minute. Look, this is the spot that you gotta turn that fan switch off, right? Like, you got to look at this because I saw people yesterday hitting with the, oh, we back. BY's him here, and I'm like, hey, he had a good practice, and that's good. I want the signs of improvement, but right now, Rashad Beard, I'm looking for signs of improvement, not for a guy to come out and all of a sudden look like a damn Pro Bowler, and from what I'm hearing, we got a little bit of that.
Yeah, and I think what's great about it is you're starting this. You got to understand, this is a new offense. This is something new for everybody, and so it's going to take a little time for them to get along and get things going. And yeah, progression is exactly right. I think what a lot of what you saw yesterday and people coming to Bryce's defense is to counteract a lot of the hate that was happening. A lot of people are saying, hey, Bryce isn't the guy. He sucks. He's so short. He can't compete. And I think what you saw was a big sigh of relief yesterday that, hey, maybe this was a good day. And so I think, again, it's just a counteract. We're playing a balance game here with Panther Nation. A lot of people don't know whether he's the guy or not. So it was really good to see him go out there and show improve yesterday. And again, you know, a lot of the complaints were that, hey, Bryce can't throw the football deep. He can't do this. He can't do that. The offense, oh, it's all only going to be short passes. And I got to be honest, we saw everything yesterday. We saw the deep passes. We saw the intermediate passes. We saw the screen game. We saw everything. And so kudos to Canales for getting this offense heading in the right direction. And we're going to see. It's early. We haven't seen it in a live full game yet. We haven't seen the adjustments happen. So, again, we're just taking baby steps. And what we saw yesterday was a step in the right direction.
Talk to me about the wide receivers. And again, I know we kind of keep hitting on the same topics week after week, but I mean, the same topics are the same topics because that's what needs to be addressed. We know what we're, well, I think we know what we're getting with Deontay. We know what we're getting with Adam Thielen. You and I talked a couple of weeks ago and said the same thing. I gotta find that number two guy. I gotta find the guy that slots in between Deontay over the top and Thielen running the underneath out of the slot. I know week one, couple of the younger guys had some struggles, had a little case of the dropsies there for John Mingo, et cetera. Got another week under the pocket so far. Did we see anybody helping Bryce out at the wide receiver position that maybe showed they're trending upwards?
Yeah. And this is a great opportunity because Deontay Johnson is out. We saw Terrace Marshall have a great day yesterday. He had two touchdown receptions. Adam Thielen, I believe, also had one. And so, yeah, I think, you know, the receivers are going to be okay. Mingo had a great day as well in camp. He's been having a solid camp. I know that he had the drop in the game, but Mingo he's trending in the right direction. He's linked up with Steve Smith, so he's trending in the right direction. Terrace Marshall's looking great. David Moore also having a solid camp. Obviously, he has that connection with Canal, so he knows the offense. So, yeah, man, I think the receivers, again, are making themselves available, and I think it all correlates. It all goes back to the coordination of the offense, right? Dave Canales is drawing them up, getting them open, and I believe that's the biggest thing. He's a former wide receiver coach. He knows how to develop these guys, and I think we're starting to see that progression. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Terrace Marshall in the future because this is a contract year for him, but I do see him taking that next step. We saw what he did was under Steve Wilks. Back when Steve Wilks was interim head coach, he had a great season or half of the season under him, so we know he has it. So it's just a matter of seeing it under this new offense. So we'll see. Shout out to Xavier Leggett. Somebody's asking about Xavier Leggett in the chat. He's a little dinged up. He's out there at practice, but he did not participate in 11-on-11. So we didn't see him at full strength.
Did we get any indication if we'll see him or not on Saturday? Or are we going to be real cautious with him?
Yeah, I think they already deemed that he would be out for Saturday. But yeah, I think they're going to take their time with him. He's a big guy. So those injuries take a little bit longer to heal. So we're going to take and we knew this, right? Even if he was healthy, it's going to take a little time for him to get in there and get a full set of reps. So he's developing. He'll be all right.
All right, you talked a lot about the offense so far. How did the defense look against the Jets offense?
Great question. So I got to be completely honest, because there's so much going on, I didn't have my eyes on the defense. However, I can tell you what I was told. What I was told is that the defense initially was getting carved up. Okay, Aaron Rodgers was doing his thing. Keep in mind, though, there was no Clowney yesterday. Dane Jackson is out, which is an opposite starting corner. And J.C. Horn was on a rep count. So you're looking at guys that were not out there full time. However, Trevin Wallace, and again, I've come on this show and I talked about how I was not a fan of that pick. Third round pick, Trevin Wallace, not a fan. But he's having a great camp and he looked fantastic yesterday. Picked off Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was visibly frustrated towards the end of practice. I think both defenses, as practice went along, they kind of both clamped down. And it was like, all right, the offense is doing a little bit too well here. Both defenses clamped down, and we caused some turnovers. Visibly frustrated Aaron Rodgers. So, again, Aaron Rodgers is still getting in the mix as well, but he did look good initially. The run game looked good for the Jets. But, yeah, I wasn't really watching every play, so I don't want to lie to the audience.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in that, Rashad Beard, because we've all been dialed in, and I do want to flip back here in a minute because you mentioned the schemes from Dave Canales, and I want to talk to a little bit about what we're seeing develop because he's, you know, it's a weird mix for him, I think, of kind of wanting to hold a little bit back and not put all the cards on the table, but also make sure that everything's got the timing and the rhythm down. But I think we've been so dialed in on the offense, the conversations about the defense have almost gone to the wayside. You get a little bit of a test this weekend against the Jets. I suspect we're not going to see any Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's going to play any in the preseason. I think he's probably gotten past the point where he needs to. But you got some young talent across that Jets offense. What do you want to see out of the defense this week in that game against the Jets on Saturday that makes you feel like defense can carry you to at least give the offense maybe a break this year? An opportunity to kind of have a lot more balance between both sides of the football playing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I don't know who's going to play, but I do want to see the depth, right? We've got some issues at cornerback depth-wise. No Dane Jackson. I mean, no Xavier Woods. No, there's a lot of guys. No DJ Wanham. A lot of guys are injured. Dane Jackson's out for 6 weeks. So that depth is definitely being tested on the defensive side of the football. We did get Shaq Thompson back, so that's great news. He's looking great out there. You know, the front is the front. I think the front is playing well. A'shaun Robinson, Derrick Brown, those guys are balling. Shaw Tuttle, those guys are playing well, so I have no concerns about them. But definitely the edge rushers, we got to see more from them. Clavon Chaisson, Iku Liotas having a great camp. Let's see what he can continue to build upon that and see if he can make the 53-man roster. But the depth from a secondary standpoint definitely needs to step up. Damani Richardson's having a great camp. He's an undrafted guy. He's had like 3 picks over the past couple of practices. So keep an eye on him. But definitely want to see if our defense can hold up. We have this bend but don't break mentality. And oftentimes what you'll see from our defense is that they'll give up a ton of yards and then maybe give up 3 points. But they also haven't been turning the football. We were dead last in takeaways. And what we're starting to see now, even in camp, you're seeing more takeaways occur. So I want to see if that can carry over into the game on Saturday, but from a depth perspective, because I don't think you'll see the starters too much.
Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Ordinarily joins us on Thursdays, was at joint practice yesterday, so joins us today on the show. Real quick, Rashad, before we let you go, that you mentioned Dave Canales' schemes just a couple of minutes ago. We got some folks over in the chat that are talking about it as well. We kind of have an idea of what they're going to be. We saw him in Tampa. We saw him in Seattle. Obviously, Dave Canales has said in press conferences and to journalists a number of times that the scheme is to do the things we're best at doing and to limit the things that we're not the best at doing as we develop those things. It's preseason. You don't want to put all the cards on the table. You do want to run things so you know you're efficient, you're effective, you've got control of those things. What have you seen out of Dave Canales as a play caller, as a scheme guy so far this offseason that you think are maybe trends? Do you think that he's holding back a little bit more? How do you feel about the way Dave Canales is holding the controls to the offense so far?
Yeah, so far so good, man. I really like what I see out this offense. You know what the biggest takeaway is? I see guys running open, right? And think about that for a second. It's not always just can I run fast or can I run a good route? Are you scheming my guys open? I've seen Mingo run free. I've seen Terrace Marshall run free, and I've never seen these guys run free in my life, right? So the fact that I'm seeing guys run open is really good, and it's really good for Bryce. And I know it seems like you're laughing.
I've never seen these guys run open in my life.
go back and look at JT O'Sullivan, right? Hit the QB school on YouTube, and he talks about how awful our offense was being schemed last year. What I'm seeing is guys are open, and that's huge. You see pre-snap motion, right? You're seeing a hefty investment in the screen game, right? That all of that's going to help Bryce get rid of the football and get the ball in your playmakers' hands and let them make plays. And right, it sounds good on paper, but Canales is actually doing, he's actually executing. And so I don't know what we're going to see. And again, we could be getting a little bit of cosmopolitan, all right? Now, I don't want to call it vanilla, but we could be getting some cosmopolitan ice cream, right? And I don't know if this is what we're going to see continue into week one. But for what I see so far, I like it. And there's going to be a heavy investment in the run game. That is also something I want to see established. You got these big hog mollies up front. You know, Robert Hunt, Damian Lewis. We haven't even seen him play yet. Shout out to Damian Lewis. He's been banged up. He's got issues. We didn't see him play at practice yesterday. So when he gets healthy and he gets back in, you got road graders. Neapolitan, my bad, not cosmopolitan. My fault. Shout out to Carlos.
We were going
to
let it go.
I don't want to correct you. So I mean,
my apologies. But what you're seeing up front is you got road graders. And so I want to see us run the football. I think you've seen that a lot as well. So I like what I see out of Canales. We just have to see it translate to week one.
I like it. Rashad Beer from the Panther Nation podcast joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Carolina Panthers getting set coming up tomorrow against the New York Jets preseason game. Numero dos. We'll see how it all breaks down. How much BY are we getting tomorrow? Quarter? Half? What do you think?
Probably none, because he had a lot of reps yesterday. You didn't see too much of Jack Plummer or Jake Luton. So I think he probably won't play, to be honest.
Okay. We'll see how it plays out. Rashad Beard joins us every Thursday. Was at joint practice yesterday, so made the time to hang out today. My man, good to see you, big dog. I'll see you November 3rd, but we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Absolutely. Be back. Love it. Every week. This is fun, man. Let's get it.
You know it. Rashad Beard. Make sure you follow them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, go to YouTube, search and subscribe to the Panther Nation podcast. They update all the time. Fantastic stuff. My man, we'll see you next week, buddy. Thanks. Rashad Beard for the Panther Nation podcast. Lonzo with the Sports Flash.
We
did it!
It's not good because Rashad is so good. The Atlanta Braves took the first three of a four-game set against the San Francisco Giants, but couldn't complete the sweep, getting shut out 6-0 yesterday. Max Fried was tagged with his seventh loss after going up three runs through 5.1 innings. Atlanta's offense recorded just four hits and one walk in the contest. Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney announced yesterday that Clemson has lost three players for the season to injury. Offensive lineman offensive lineman Watson Young suffered a torn ACL. Cornerback Miles Oliver is fighting an injured pec and ACL. And offensive lineman Ian Reed has a knee injury. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Deese will get you up to date on all the latest local and national sports news, all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.